over the weekend, I heard a beautiful story. Have you heard of Tunnel to Towers?
Yes.
It's a great organization.
Very.
They do a lot of great work, and they made an announcement this week. On the show is John Havane, Director of First Responders and Military Tunnels to Towers. Hey, John.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you guys this morning? Chaz, AJ, thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
You're always welcome here.
Thank you.
Tell us about this announcement.
Well, Tunnels to Towers was started back in 2001 when Stephen Zilla was killed during the terrorist attacks on 9/11. And his family sat around a kitchen table and decided they wanted to take something awful and do some good. So they started the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, where they started off as a firefighters organization. And then in 2014, when Lou and Ramos, Detective Lou and Detective Ramos, were killed in a execution style, we decided we're going to get involved in our first responders as well as the military that we've been taking care of. And
I remember that execution.
Yeah. Horrible. Yeah,
there was a difficult court decision made, and people were upset about it. And the mayor at the time, de Blasio, got up behind the podium and angrily said, "This is a call to arms."
Jerk.
And to me, he set off that frenzy, this anger.
He should have faced charges.
Police.
Yep.
He should have faced charges.
He should have faced charges.
He said something that basically resulted in the death of two police officers just sitting in their car.
Yeah, and look what's happened since. Yeah. We have lawlessness in parts of New York, and now we have Connecticut, where, you know, Sergeant DeMonte and Officer Hamzy were killed. They were executed. The reason why, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They were killed and executed by a evil person. And so we decided that when we see something, when an officer is killed in the line of duty or military and they have young children, we will pay their mortgage. Now, it'll never, never bring back the loved one.
No.
But they, you know, we don't want the child, or in this case, two children now, one on the way, you know, where they're going to have to move out of their home that mom and dad had.
Yeah.
And so we move forward and we jump in there. And because of the great support we get across the country, were able to do this. And unfortunately, last year we had to do 202 times between our military and our fallen first responders. And this year, unfortunately, we'll pass that number. And, you know, it's sad. And as the holidays approach, we're a month away from Thanksgiving. And these families are going to go on with their lives without their mom or their dad. And in this case, their dad. And I've dealt so many times with the survivors, and each day's a struggle. And like I said, we started this off by trying to do good and taking care of the children.
It's such a beautiful thing to, you know, for them in everything they're going through right now, to hear that, okay, here's one thing you're not going to have to worry about.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing to take that pressure off of the family at this time.
Needed. Yep.
It is amazing. And think about it. You guys were just talking about how one officer was shot and kept going towards danger. I was a New York City detective for 21 years. And I tell you, it takes a lot of gumption to keep going towards danger. And these people at service, firefighters, police, military, they're going into the danger so that we can sit down and be comfortable in our homes. And they sacrificed their lives. This man was shot. He could have laid down on the floor and just called for first aid. And that would have been that.
Yeah. He was a victim.
Yeah.
He was a victim of an ambush, And yes, I agree. As soon as I saw that video of him, once he's behind the tree and he's checking himself out and he's saying the F word because he knows he was hit and it's not great.
Yeah.
Right there, he could have stood right there and just, it's over, and no one would have questioned that. But he comes out, he gets to the car, takes position, one shot.
Beautiful.
It was really, I was scared for him as I'm watching the video, and
Me too.
Already know how it ends, and he's okay.
Yeah.
And it just, I'm like, wow, this is all happening in seconds.
Yeah.
You don't know if there's one, you don't know how many, you heard a lot of shots, you know, two guys are down, you were hit. And he ran right back.
Yep. Hero.
Yeah.
That's right.
Hero.
Don't we owe them this, taking care of their mortgages?
Absolutely.
Or something. We owe them when they walk out the door. And I think it's about half of the officers that died this year were ambushed. Imagine that. You're ambushed doing your job. When they walk out the door and they say goodbye to their loved ones that morning, that evening, we owe that family our commitment to pay off their mortgage if you leave behind young children. And, you know, it's sad. It's you know, they're going to be laid to rest on Friday. And it's just sad. It's just sad that everybody's life has changed.
We're talking to our good friend, John Havane, Director of First Responders and Military, Tunnels to Tower. And they're going to pay the mortgage of one of the officers who were killed in Bristol last week. You were just mentioning ambushes on police officers. The number of ambushes in which police were injured or killed in surprise attacks with little chance to defend themselves has soared since 2020 and accounts for nearly half the officers killed this year.
Yeah.
I wonder where this environment came from.
Gee.
Well, I'll tell you. We don't respect our first responders. And it makes no sense because these are two young men that live in that neighborhood, grew up in that state. And they chose to do good things. And then you have evilness. And I would never mention their names. And you look for reason in the reasonable people. And there's no logic here.
Yeah.
Whatever happened, transpired that night, evil happened. So that's why we're here, to make something horrific a little nicer, as far as just to, relieve them of their financial burdens of owning that home.
It's the last thing you should have to worry about when you're going through this whole process. And once... you know, after the funerals and people kind of go their own ways. I know cops are really good about checking in and staying in touch and helping out. They don't just leave you alone.
No, they don't abandon you.
But at the same time, that the bills come.
Yeah.
The bills don't stop.
Nope.
The bills don't say, hey, sorry, man, we'll be over here. You know what?
No.
Just don't even worry about us. We're going to go.
No, they keep coming.
Yeah, and the psychological trauma, as I said, I was a New York City detective. Psychological trauma to the Bristol police officers that survive and work every day, it weighs on you. And, you know, when I spoke to the chief this week, he was so thankful. But, you know, I just told him, keep an eye and watch out for his guys and make sure, you know, they're okay, too.
And these are the last guys and girls who want to go and talk to someone because, you know, there's this... You know, I'm tough. Uh-huh. Everybody, we're all going through the same thing. I don't want to be the one who says, you know, I'm having trouble processing this.
You got to reach out now.
Yeah.
Right. And we fix things. We don't need to be fixed.
Right.
And that's what, you know, it's one of those things. So, you know, what we do also is we'll also, you know, help Laura, you know, financial advice, and we have social workers that work for us, and we follow up with them. So we just don't pay off a mortgage. We stay in touch with them. We make them part of the Tunnel of Tower family.
Yeah.
How can people donate if they'd like to help your organization?
Well, thanks for asking. It's just go to t2t.org, and we have an $11 a month program where you donate $11 per month. And unfortunately, we used that money to pay off the next officer, firefighter, military person that is killed protecting us. And 95 cents out of every dollar goes to our recipients.
Wow.
It's very, very high. So a lot of us are retired New York City police officers or firefighters, and we do it, you know, to follow in Stephen's footsteps that ran into danger, and we're going to take care of these people that protect us.
You would think the government or the people who put them
in. Wouldn't that be nice?
I like how you just laugh because it's like,
Wouldn't that be nice?
Right.
Wouldn't that be the proper thing to do?
Not to get into it, John, but man, we had some really bad legislation here in Connecticut that stripped the rights.
We can trump that. We actually have a society that was cleaned up, and now...
Oh, New York City.
Yeah.
It's the Wild West.
Yep.
Yeah, and think of how many officers gave up their lives to, you know, get that crime under control.
Yeah.
And now we lost it.
Yeah. John, thanks for what you do, man. Really.
Thank you so much.
And count me in for $11 a month. That'll be
outstanding.
That'll be the best $11 a month I spend.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning. Have a great day and stay healthy.
Thank you, John. Thanks for everything you've done for us as a New York City police detective and for this, Tunnels to Towers.
We'll link
up on the radio station website. John Havain, Director of First Responders and Military Tunnels for Towers. On the show with us right now, Heidi Voigt, NBC Connecticut. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey.
I've been watching your posts, and I know you went out to the memorial over the weekend. It's looks very moving.
You know, seeing it on TV is one thing. And, I mean, we've been on the air with it. I was on the air early Wednesday or Thursday morning when everything was still kind of unfolding. And Friday, you know, seeing all the processions and everything on TV, but seeing it in person is, it takes your breath away. I brought my girls out on Friday night so we could see one of the processions from the medical examiner's office to the funeral home in Terryville. And it just took my breath away. There were just ordinary people coming out of their houses and standing at the street with their hands over their hearts just to pay their respects. And then yesterday we went to the police department and so my girls could put some flowers down there. And there's a cruiser out front that's covered in a mountain. You can barely see the cruiser anymore. It's underneath so many flowers, and it's just the air is so heavy. It's so quiet. It's just so sad.
I remember walking through Sandy Hook right after that. It was exactly what you just said. It was one thing to see it on TV, but when you walk through, it's a whole different impact.
Yeah, and then to see the officers while we were there, who still have to show up for duty and
right.
go to work. And all the officers also from the surrounding departments from all across the state, really, that have stepped up to provide mutual aid and work those shifts so Bristol officers can have this time to grieve and be together.
The video that they released of the body cam,
mm-hmm.
that was unbelievable to watch. Here's a police officer who just seconds earlier was part of an ambush. His fellow officers had been shot. He'd been shot. Lots of gunfire. Runs around the house, gets behind the tree, looks down at his wound, knows mm-hmm. that it's bad.
Yeah.
And right there, if he stopped and just stayed behind that tree, I think no one's going to question that.
No.
Wait for backup.
Right. Exactly, yeah.
But he went out, limped out to the police cruiser, took a position, and with all of what just happened in the very few seconds that just prior, he was able to point that thing, fire one shot, and kill the threat. And I just, I was scared for him watching the video, and I know that he's okay.
Yeah.
It was, I just couldn't imagine how terrifying it must have been for him to push through that and to do what I saw in that video. It was incredible.
It's same. It was very hard to watch, and we made a choice on the morning show on NBC this morning not to air the audio portion of it.
Yeah,
we're only not either. Like very select moments of the video without audio because it's so upsetting to hear. But like, it just underscores the 26-year-old officer, and if you watch the video and you hear the terror, the screams, that you see the darkness, you hear the clear and present danger. You know, 30 rounds at a pop fired off, and the guy had an AR-15. These officers were outgunned, and one shot, stepping out in the darkness, and one shot, he ended it all. And he saved the lives of all of the officers who responded after them, because who knows
how long
this would have gone on. You know, I talked to one of the officers who was next on scene, and that's what he said. He said he saved my life too. And I just think if there's the kid's a definition of a hero, and I hope he gets every commendation. And I'm glad he's out of the hospital, by the way. He's doing okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know it's tough, right? It's a fine line to walk. The Office of the Inspector General releases what they deem appropriate, and they're not going to release the body cams from the deceased officers, which, you know, and for the same reasons why. No, I mean, it's the same reason why the reports from Sandy Hook were so heavily redacted. It's just out of human decency and respect to the families. Like, no one needs to see that. But I think there's value in showing Officer Iorato's experience, portions of it, because the public needs to understand, you know, exactly what happened and the extraordinary terror that this man was up against. And I mean, let's face it, most of us would never have the guts to sign up to do that job in the first place, let alone that kind of situation. And to be so calm and tactical, and I mean, his training just took over and he did what needed to be done.
Yeah.
Yep.
And what we are reminded when something like this happens is that this can happen any given day, any given call.
Yep.
You know, police officers do, you know, traffic violations and domestic calls. That's the bulk of their work.
Yeah.
And every time you get a domestic call, you don't know what you're rolling into.
No idea.
We learned that, you know, where I grew up in Milford, our hometown hero is Officer Danny Wasson, you know, and the phrase routine traffic stop. Walked up to the car and the guy opened fire point blank range, shot to the chest, killed him. There's no such thing as a routine call.
Right.
They never know what they're walking into. And it's just, I just can't think of, I don't know in Connecticut history if there's ever been two officers killed this way together. I mean, the last, we've covered first responder funerals over the years, and the last two officers in our state to die, one of them was Diane Gonzalez from New Haven, who died after being in a coma for years after a car crash in her cruiser. And then the other was Connecticut State Trooper Brian Mole, who, of course, his cruiser got swept away in the floodwaters of Ida. But those were accidents. And this was not an accident. This was murder. This was an ambush. And so it's just, it's so tragic. And those families, I mean, Dustin DeMonte had two young kids and a baby girl on the way. Like, it's awful. I do want to mention, first of all, shout out to Tunnels to Towers. I know you guys have covered them in the past.
We just had them on.
Foundation.
Yeah.
They're paying off the mortgage for the DeMonte family home. And then Bristol Police asked us to just please get it out there that there's only two department sanctioned fundraisers, and they're through the Thomaston Savings Bank or directly through the police department. And they say, just please, unfortunately, there's going to be people who capitalize on this to scam people.
Right.
So if you get any kind of phone solicitation, they say, don't, just don't.
Yeah.
So we've got, all that information is online.
Heidi Voigt, NBC Connecticut's on. I got to tell you, when I look at your posts, I can feel your pain through them. And I know you're not just, you know, there's some people who post things like hashtag and at, and like, are you trying to get more likes from this?
Yeah.
I love Heidi's posts because they're informative and it's well thought out and it's from the heart.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you. And I spend a lot of time around members of the law enforcement community through Special Olympics and the Torch Run and the Believe 208 Foundation. But I lost a very dear friend of mine in 2015 to suicide, and he was a Milford police officer. And something he said haunts me forever. He talked about, there's people in this world that hate me, and they don't even know me, but they hate me because I wear a badge. And the irony is that he would have risked his life to save anybody without even knowing them. Right. And these are everyday people in our community, and this just shows the dangers they're facing when they kiss their families goodbye every day.
Right.
And so I think you'd have to not have a soul to not be affected by this.
Yeah,
you know?
Seriously. Yeah, agreed.
Yep.
Agreed. I think when you're putting a gun and ammo and handcuffs and a bulletproof vest on as your work clothes,
uh-huh,
takes a special person.
Very.
Because this isn't so you could get your family through a dangerous area. You're going to go help strangers.
Yep.
So.
Mm-hmm. Any of us.
Any of us.
That call.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, thank you, Heidi. Appreciate you.
Thank you, guys.
Right.
Obviously, there's a lot more to come in the days and weeks ahead, and we'll be there Friday.
Yeah,
to cover the funerals. Oh, and by the way, if people want to come to Rensselaer Sale on Friday, they can, but they're asking the public you got to be there by 9:30, and they're expecting thousands of people.
Yeah, that's like, how do they know the number? Like, I heard over the weekend 20,000.
Yeah,
like, do they?
Oh my gosh!
How do they come up with that number? Is that how many?
Well, I don't.
People can in there? Or?
I'm guessing like that, maybe going by capacity, but I know they know how many departments they've reached out to.
Yeah.
Right.
To figure that out. Yep.
And, you know, and every time we see a first responder funeral, you're going to see departments from across the country showing up.
Other states,
Especially this one.
Yeah.
This one's like, it's the friggin' worst. They didn't have a chance.
No.
You know, they didn't have a chance.
No.
Nope.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he shot him from behind.
Yeah.
Coward.
You know, they went up to, it's just terrible. The whole thing is awful.
You know what, Heidi, what's the deal with the brother? Like, the brother was released from the hospital, right? So they feel like he had nothing to do with it.
Well, we don't know. I know there's so much speculation and questions about that. So, like, we have no idea. None of that has been released yet, and we can only report what's, you know, released and confirmed. But we know that he's back home, and we know one thing that I thought was interesting in the preliminary report that came out from the inspector general is they say they went around the side door where the brother answered the door, and the officers ordered him to come out with his hands up.
Yeah.
And then the shooter, the other brother, came around from behind and opened fire. So I'm curious why.
Yes.
That, you know what I mean? But
we
just don't know yet.
Yeah.
That will all come out in the days to come. But this is like a huge time consuming. You've got OIG, you have state police, major crimes, state's attorneys. This is a massive investigation.
Right. It's, I just thought that I know it's innocent until proven guilty and long investigation, thorough. I just read that and I thought that's weird to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's just weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's very strange.
Yeah. Who knows? And we don't know what was told to them on the 911 call that lured them there.
Right.
That could have been why they approached with that kind of caution. We just don't know.
Right. Heidi Voigt, NBC Connecticut. Thank you.